this is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk, and I'd like to share a conversation I've been having with the tall ship captain from the BAP Union, Captain Kurt Boetger.
Hello, Karen. I'm calling you from my ship, tall ship Union, our training ship. And we are right now at anchor at the Bay of Paracas. It's a very nice bay, very good for sailing. It's a national reserve, about 100 miles south of Lima. Callao is our home port. So we have come here to do a little bit of training and also to, in a way, be part of a celebration. We are celebrating 200 years of our independence next year. But in this bay was where the expedition, what we call the liberating expedition, landed. So a day like today, 200 years ago. So that's a part of the, besides doing our training, we are also promoting our image, being part of this kind of events.
That's wonderful. I know that it's usually a very big crowd for those kinds of things whenever the BAP Union is in town, but now you have the pandemic. How does that change things?
Yeah, it's of course things have changed a lot. Not only in Peru, not only for us, but for everyone. So we, in a way, we miss the opportunity of when we come to a port or visit any, like in this case, a bay that has also a very large sailing and maritime community, not being able to receive them on board as is our normal custom. But, well, it's these are the times that we have to live. But still, I think that it is important for people to see us and see that despite the different, the difficult times that we all are experiencing, life goes on.
We talked right after the pandemic began, and well, we've been talking throughout, but we talked about the cadets going to shore and helping assist on the shore in humanitarian aid. And then also that you also had on your ship the first responders, and you gave them lodging and food.
You see, you're really great cooks that are master chefs, actually, doing with that same passion as they do, as they cook while we're at sea or while we are hosting great dignitaries, cooking with the same, as I said, passion and interest, cooking the lunches that were the back lunches that we were sending for the responders that were on patrol. So that happens when it is not a job. You really love your work or what you do.
All right, thank you for that. 9:40 on a Tuesday, we get out on the bay or wherever you might happen to be, put up the mainsail and the jib and the boom and all that stuff you do as we sail along on our SailSportTalk.com segment with co-host Karen Lyle, who joins me from, I guess, just down the road from her house. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing just great. Hey, Rick, you're getting some salty language there. I'm impressed.
Salty? Oh, yeah, a little. Well, salty usually means swear words. You scared me there for a second. All right, we want to make sure we bring in our guest, and that is Clint Collier. Clint Collier is the past International Commodore of the International Yachting Fellowship of Rotarians. And first of all, Clint, help us out. We never want to keep any stone unturned. For people who don't know, Rotarians, this is the Rotary Club. So how do they get involved with yachting, sir?
Well, good morning, first of all. But yes, it is the Rotary Clubs around the world. There are tens of thousands of Rotary Clubs. And there are a number of fellowships. Ours is just one of them. And sometimes you learn about the fellowships at various Rotary events. Sometimes it's just word of mouth. That's about it. They often say that fellowships are the best kept secret in Rotary, which is unfortunate because we do a lot of good work, I think, and really have a lot of fun at it.
Well, and if I recall, Clint, it's good to talk to you here on the air. if I recall, there are something like 3,600 members of the International Yachting Fellowship of Rotarians now. I think when you were Commodore, there were about 3,000 members throughout the world with 109 fleets. And you helped establish many of those fleets, Clint. Tell me what fleets you traveled, I don't know, what, 30 countries or something when you were Commodore? Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, it's almost like a journey. You start out as a rear Commodore, become a vice Commodore, and then full Commodore. Each position is 2 years in length, so you spend about 6 years at it, as well as a couple years after as a past Commodore. And I literally traveled all over the world. Starting in Europe, I was initially asked if I would run for Commodore at the Rotary Convention in Copenhagen. We had gone to a reception on a large yacht in front of the palace there. And they came up and started bending my arm, so to speak. I traveled a lot in Europe, mainly Spain and Italy. I never really did get to Eastern Europe, which was too bad. I always wanted to get down to Turkey and some places there. But I did a lot of work in Central and South America. We started troops started fleets in Ecuador, Uruguay, Argentina. Really got South America going, I guess you could say. But also traveled in the Far East, Japan, Taipei, the Philippines, Australia. I was there once, and down in Thailand. The Australian was really what convinced me to get going with IYFR. I had was going down there and contacted a member of one of the fleets down there. When I got to Sydney, they met me at the hotel and took me out for a wonderful day on the bay in Sydney Harbor. It was fantastic. I still remember the lunch up at by the waterfall in the quarantine bay.
Yes, an apt name for these times. Tell us a little bit about our bay and in Marin and Sausalito, the Matthew Turner, 135-foot tall ship that you have a youth sailing scholarship on, and it was built there. And I didn't know they had shipwrights in Sausalito. I thought they maybe, you know, take a ship to dry dock and scrape some barnacles off, but it was built right there, huh?
Yes, it was actually built up on the land there. They moved it down to the water, I believe, on a trailer. And I don't think they necessarily have the shipwrights there. My general perception is that there's a group of people with this talent for building these traditional type ships. They tend to kind of move around depending on where the work is. But they spent 5-6 years, I think, building the Matthew Turner over there. I've been over looking at it several times now. It's really modern society or something meets traditional sailing. This ship is just unbelievably high tech. There's no motors per se on it. Well, they have a small Onan, I think. Basically, it's electric driven, and when she's under sail, it turns the prop in the opposite direction and actually charges their battery through sailing. Amazing.
Well, Clint, I went down to Half Moon Bay on Saturday on my little Hunter Vision 36-foot and then sailed back into the bay to see a sight that was just incredible because I haven't seen very many boats out there on the water. And there were, I don't know, as many boats, there were hundreds of boats, but also the Matthew Turner was out on Sunday when we got back. And it's quite an impressive sight out there on the bay. Tell me about the scholarship. Tell me about the scholarship and the name of that scholarship.
It's Matthew Turner. It belongs to an organization called Call of the Sea over there. They have one other ship, which we sailed once down in Mexico on a rotary mission distributing sporting goods and educational things to the little fishing villages in the Gulf of California down there. But anyway, their main mission is taking youth out on both day trips as well as longer adventures on this thing. And so we were looking around for a way that Rotary could support them, and it came up for discussion at one of the IYFR meetings. And so we've established a scholarship named the Remsen Bernard Rotary IYFR Youth Sailing Scholarship to send a youth out each year. We hope to have it running for at least the next 4 to 5 years, where we will pay not all of their expenses, but the majority of them to experience, because I've found particularly that sailing on one of these ships like this, a tall ship, is an experience that will shape a youth's life well into the future. They learn teamwork, coordination, discipline, stuff like that. It's really a life-changing experience.
More questions for Commodore Clint Collier. Do you have other rival clubs? Like, do you sail against the Masons or the Elks Club, things like that?
No, I don't know of any other organizations outside of Rotary that has a program like these fellowships. The San Francisco fleet is actually a member of PICYA, the yachting umbrella here in the Bay Area. But even that is pretty unique. Most of the other stuff within IYFR involves really our own members. When they're traveling around the world, you can find fleets all over. We have an online database where you can contact the members of those fleets and stuff. And sometimes we exchange, you know, sailing events. Probably the biggest one I'm aware of is up here in Seattle area with the Canadians. Every year they have a big sort of like a little regatta. One year it's in Canada, the next year it's in the U.S., and it celebrates both our 4th of July and Canada Day up there, and they all get together and have a lot of fun. Sometimes they'll do a service project. It's a truly amazing event. Gets, oh, probably maybe 25, 30 boats together at one time. I remember we went out to Saturna Island once for the lamb feed that they have, where they roast a bunch of lambs around a big bonfire. Amazing experience again. IYFR has certainly shaped much of my history, I guess you could say, and memories of what I've had.
Well, Clint, I know that you have also traveled to many of these international conventions, and those who have had international Rotary conventions in their cities know that that's like 20,000 Rotarians coming from all over the world. And usually IYFR has a special event after the international Rotary convention. What events do you remember from all the different ones you've attended that was IYFR at the international level that you really enjoyed?
Oh, my. well, a lot of favorites. I know when the International Rotary Convention was in Birmingham, in England, we actually came over a little bit early because they were having a big event down in Italy. So we got to London and stayed with the International Commodore. I was just the vice commodore at that time. But we took a plane trip down to Italy without sailing in the Bay of Naples, and had a wonderful dinner out at the start of the Amalfi Coast. And I remember the sunset there going down behind Capri, and it's just a wonderful experience. But in many respects, one of the best ones I thought was one that I actually organized, and that was in Bangkok, Thailand. They one of the members of the royal family there has a, quote, hobby of rescuing and restoring traditional Thai rice boats. These are the boats they used to ship rice around the country in, and they're a vanishing breed now. But she had assembled about, a dozen or more of these boats and completely restored them up on a little lake outside of Bangkok, and it was being run like a hotel. These things were actually no longer floating because of their value. They didn't want them to deteriorate in the water. But they had put them up on cement pilings in the middle of this lake. So they were sort of above the water. And everybody got their own little boat to stay in for the time we were there. Normally these post-convention cruises last about 5 days.
Well, that's, Clint, I'm sorry, we're out of time. It sounds like an amazing story. We've been speaking with Clint.
Oh, yes.
IYFR, the former Commodore, and Karen Lyle, as always, remember to go to SailSportTalk.com to check things out. Clint, thank you so much once again. And Karen, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you then.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, sorry to bring it to an abrupt end, but we got to run. I'm Rick Tittle. We will come on back on Sports Byline.